Recently on Waveney Words, we heard from Jill Haylock, a priest and a farmer's wife. I'm with Paul Schwier in Pulham Market. Thanks for talking to us, Paul. You too mix agriculture and the church. So we've got the farm.
Yeah.
That's taking up quite a bit of your time, not Sundays.
No.
Because you've got this other role in the village.
I do.
Or in other villages as well, I hear.
Yeah. So I've been preaching in churches since I started when I was 17. I did my first, but even before that, I was involved in youth work.
17-year-olds going up into a pulpit or wherever you're preaching from, it must be difficult to get the respect of the listeners, the congregation. Why should this young whippersnapper be telling me about God?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I was given the opportunities. It was in the nonconformist churches, free independent evangelicals, Baptists, etc. People would ask me, and would you come and speak to us? So actually, one of the churches I used to speak at was Dickleborough Baptist, which is no longer. It's turned into a house now. But I used to go there once a quarter, so four times a year I'd be invited to go and take a service for them. Because they didn't have their own ministers, they relied on people like me to come in and take a service, lead the service and preach. And I grew up with it. My father preached all my life. Three times a day I'd hear him preach. And so in a sense, I grew up with it. So it was part of my... But it's not everyone's ideal thing to do is to preach. But do I like it? I don't know whether you ever like it. I think it's something you feel called to and you feel it's a responsibility that you need to do. It's something that I've enjoyed, not always. Sometimes it's really tough, but it's a big part of my life.
Explain to our listeners, you're Church of England now.
Well, yes. I would say, no, I'm not Church of England. People will label me with the Church of England because I work within the Church of England. But I would just simply call myself a Christian. But yes, I work within the sphere of the Church of England and have done since, well, even before this time I was working in Suffolk, I was doing services in the Church of England. But in 92, when I came here, a new minister turned up in the village and he'd just taken on Starston, Pulham St. Mary and Pulham Market. And my wife and I, when we came back, she used to go to the Methodist and she decided she'd like a change. So she said, well, let's just go down and see what the Anglican's like. And this new minister came up and said, would I consider becoming a lay reader? And I said, well, I've been preaching for years, so I suppose it's something I could do. And we talked about it and thought about it and said, yeah, all right, okay, so we'll go down that route. We'll try and work within the local village if we possibly can. And then a couple of months later... Norfolk brought in, it was the first time they brought in ordained local ministers, where they decided that they would ask certain churches to draw someone from their congregation and ask them if they'd be prepared to be trained and ordained. And I was one of the first batch in Norfolk. There was eight of us went forward. So I was then ordained after 3 years training and was then...
Not 3 years full-time?
Nope. No, 3 years part-time, and I'd already done a lot of training myself. So this was like a part-time training in order just to make sure we understood all the nuts and bolts of it all. But then I was basically encouraged by our local minister, Monty Elson, and his wife. So really lovely guy. And I still blame him today for the fact that I'm a ref. I was ordained in Norwich Cathedral, deaconed in Norwich Cathedral, and the following year ordained. So now I can do anything that any minister or priest can do in the Church of England.
You surprised me when we were talking before we started the recording that you're not getting paid for this religious role.
No, it's all free. No, it's all done for free. So, I mean, I give my time for free. So, you know, even when I take a wedding or a funeral, the person will be charged, but I don't get paid for it. It all goes to the diocese.
And which churches do you work in?
I work across the benefice. I haven't worked so much in a wider sphere of the benefice in the last 6 or 8 months. But before that, I would take services in every church of the whole benefice.
Which is
Starston, Pulham St. Mary, Rushall, Pulham Market, Dickleborough and Thelverton. And then Friends and there's another one somewhere. I can't think of it now. There isn't. Langmuir. Yeah, Friends and Langmuir are also involved, but they're closed churches. So there's eight in the group, but only six of them, are open. So, yeah, so I preach in those. But from a pastoral point of view, so I'm working with people, and Pulham Market is my... I've taken funerals elsewhere, but most of my pastoral time is. I mean, I'm limited. I am a full-time farmer. There's only so much I can do.
How much time commitment is there? I know it must be flexible.
It is very flexible. So if I get a phone call from a funeral director or from a family to say someone's really ill, would you visit them? Then I will just down tools and go and visit them because I'm self-employed. I can do that. I mean, if I'm sitting on a combine, that's a little bit difficult. But most of the time I can drop tools, go and see somebody, and then go and pick tools up again and carry on and work late. So it's one of the advantages in the sense of being self-employed that I can do it. How many hours do I work? That's really difficult to say. Anything from 15 to 20. I try and visit somebody, probably half a dozen people a week, and I might visit three in an evening or two or three on a Sunday or a Saturday, depends on how busy I am and what's going on. So I try and pop in and touch base with people through the village where I can.
And you're preparing a sermon, or how many sermons a week do you give?
At the minute, it's been cut back. So it used to be two or three on a Sunday, and now it's down to one or two, mostly one at the minute. So just because we've got a new rector and things have changed slightly, so it's given me a little bit more time. So most of the time now, it'll probably be just one, about two or three times a week, two or three times a month.
And it would be lovely to think that you were sitting in your tractor cab, getting inspiration for the next sermon.
Yeah. Are
you sure it's not coming through that phone on some sort of website?
No, definitely not. No, I've never done that. In fact, I tried to use an old sermon once and it didn't work. It just doesn't sit with me, and so sermons are fresh every time I write a sermon. It's new, and actually, if I'm really honest, in a really busy summer day, if you've been combining till midnight on a Saturday night, I could be preparing a sermon at 5 o'clock in the morning for the Sunday morning. So it's just, but I try and write the chapter of and verse of what I'm supposed to be preaching on or looking at for this following Sunday. I'll try and do it on a Monday, and then I'll look at it and it'll be in my head throughout the week. So if I'm sitting on a tractor or, you know, doing something somewhere and something, you know, buzzing about in my head, then it's preparation.
And do you get invited to nonconformist churches now to give a sermon after?
I preach in other places. I've done various bits and pieces. I've done a wedding in, did a lovely wedding in Italy for somebody. That was a lot of fun. So opportunities come up. But most of my time now, it probably is spent within the Anglican circles.
You're coming to a stage in your life when you're planning to ease back in some role or other?
Yeah, because next week I reach a certain age that they tell us that you should retire, except that they're not paying me for another couple of years, so they've stretched that one a little bit. So yeah, you need to be in a position where you're able to back down and retire. We're in the fortunate, we've got two boys and a daughter. Neither of the boys were really interested in farming at all. One lives in Germany, in Berlin, and the other one's still at home at the minute. My daughter is married with two children, so we've got two lovely grandchildren. And her husband is an ex-farmer's son, just loves farming. So he also does some plumbing, kitchens and bathrooms. We're trying to work our way out and he's working his way in. This year, we're hoping to complete a barn conversion that we will move out. So we'll move out the farmhouse. They'll move in with their children and then they'll take a greater and greater role as time goes on. So we're slowly passing the buck over.
How many farm workers do you have?
One full time.
You and one full-time?
Me and one full-time. And then Dan, my son-in-law, comes in. He probably works probably half a year, something like that. Half of the year he's on the farm and half the year he's... And that will change as time goes on for him. So, but that's just one of those areas. He's just an exceptional plumber, so hate to lose a good plumber.
But as far as you're concerned, there's no doubt that the farm will stay in the family.
The farm will, yeah, no, there is no doubt at all. The farm will stay in the family. You know, my daughter now runs all the accounting side of the farm, looks after the books, the VAT. She's done that for some years.
So there's no surprises about income, revenue. She knows exactly what she's letting herself in for.
They know exactly what they're letting themselves in for. Yeah, absolutely. They know. In fact, one of my sons said to me, Dad, if you think I'm working the hours you work for the money you earn, you've got another thing coming. That's why he's in Berlin. So, yeah, farming's not great, but it's a way of life. A bit like, I guess you could say the church is vocational, as are many jobs vocational, and farming is certainly vocational. You need to, one, you need to be born into it to afford to do it, dare I say such a thing, because land is so expensive. But actually, you need to be born, nearly born into it. You need to love it, because if you don't love it, don't do it.
Yeah. Now, you're always seen around the village either in a tractor...
On a push bike,
but there are other forms of transport that you indulge yourself.
Yeah, well, I tried to stop my children from riding motorbikes. I used to ride a motorbike in Africa years and years ago, just because it was an easy way of transport. Loved motorbikes. And then when my son hit 21, he said, "How about it, Dad?" So I said, "All right, then." So we both did our motorbike license together. He did slightly better than me, but we both passed first time. So, yeah, I ride a motorbike, and I love riding a motorbike. So I'll go to church on a motorbike. So if I'm doing services in other places, it's just a really easy way to get from A to B.
What bike have you got?
What bike have I got? I've got a GS800 BMW. And it's one of the few bikes that – it's one of the highest-seating bikes that's made. I've got two titanium knee joints. So it's all right to ride. And then, of course, the other thing I've got is a kit car, which looks a bit like a ex-Lotus 7, which is sort of hand-built. I didn't build it. Somebody else built it. I had one previous to this. I've always loved – I love driving. I love I did a race day down at Brands Hatch some years ago. So, yeah, driving's a lot of fun, hence the motorbike and the car probably. But I do ride a push bike as well around the village.
This may sound a bit silly with all your busyness. Any other hobbies?
No. It's probably the answer to that.
Because you do find people who are busy seem to be the ones that take on other things and do other things.
We're always building, repairing on the farm. I enjoy mechanics. So we've made a lot of our own stuff. We've put up nearly all our own buildings on the farm. I think I've put up 6 or 7 since I've been here. We've done a lot of repair and work on the house and on the barns that we've converted. We had a local builder involved, but we did a lot of the work as well. So I guess that's sort of my – I love woodworking. So if I had any hobby at all, it would be – I've got a lot of stacks of really nice wood buried in a couple of sheds and a lot of machinery that hopefully I'll get the opportunity to, when I slow down a bit, to do a bit of furniture making.
Well, good luck with that. Paul Schreert, thanks very much for giving Waveney Words so much of your time this evening.
Thank you. You're welcome.